Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right, Joe, we've got a border compromise from the Democrats and the Republicans. Should Trump sign it? I don't know. Nobody knows what's in it. Yep, this is what they did. Over 1,100 pages. Dropped it like a bomb. And here's how one representative from Georgia, Jody Heiss, he's a Republican, he's a member of Congress, is describing this.
This bill, obviously, I don't think anybody's going to have time to read it before they have to vote. They got to push it through so quick. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It came out while we're all in bed asleep here. We're waking up in the morning, getting going, and finding out that we've got nearly 1,200 pages worth of bills in front of us, for which we've not seen. And the Democrats, interestingly, made a promise that this type of thing would not happen, that we would have 72 hours before being called on to vote on a bill. And this is a bill that was done behind closed doors. Even many of the negotiators themselves had no idea what's in it. And now we're expected to vote on it today. I certainly cannot go there.
I don't know, Lee. Are you feeling lucky?
No, I'm not feeling lucky. No.
Would you vote on something that Chuck Schumer, Democrat leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, took to the floor and said, come on, Mr. President, sign it. Without really knowing what's in it. Even the president admitted yesterday, I had the audio clip and then I lost it. I can't find what I did with it. But he admitted yesterday he didn't know what's in it. He says he has to look and check, see if there's any poison pills. Good luck with that, Mr. President, by tomorrow, because the deadline to prevent the shutdown is tomorrow. So 1,100 pages in this thing. Now, there's all kinds of reporting all over the place on this. Here's, like yesterday, Mitch McConnell was saying, oh, Mr. Trump definitely signed this. It's absolutely wonderful. But yet this was from Tucker Carlson last night. This is one of his correspondents on Fox News.
Tucker, tonight we're learning Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is expressing concern and accused Democrats of adding what are called poison pill provisions into the deal. Now, a source tells Tucker Carlson tonight one of those provisions allows small town mayors to veto any part of a wall built in their specific jurisdictions. Democratic aides tell Fox News they're optimistic the bill will pass in the House, but there is Democratic concern that conservatives may turn some fellow Republicans against the deal that would fund the wall, not at $5.7 billion, but instead $1.4 billion for an additional 55 miles of a barrier. Now, Tucker, late this afternoon, the House Freedom Caucus talked about introducing a continuing resolution to fund the government for another week, basically just kicking this down the road for another week, resetting while these negotiations continue. If that doesn't happen, tomorrow is expected to be the final vote. The deadline is Friday, so certainly we'll be in the 11th hour on this budget battle.
What do you think, Lee?
I think, as usual, you can't trust Democrats.
No.
And you can't trust many of the Republican leadership either.
No, definitely
not. You know, it does look like that what you've got here is, once again, a document that is way too long, that is most likely written by lobbyists and ideologues, and is not going to there'll be something in there that prevents the president from being able to say he's going to do what he's going to do. And there'll be something in there that'll make it appear that Democrats will be able to say that they can do what they want to do. A provision like that, a reporter was just talking about, where local municipalities have jurisdiction over and above the federal government.
I know, that's bizarre.
You know, that I see liberals trying to do this on many occasions, and they'd better be very darn careful about doing stuff like that. Because if that precedent is ever set, it's going to kick federal law out of here. And so many things that liberals think that they have accomplished through the judicial, legislative process, if you get my drift, can be thrown out by local jurisdictions. You've set precedent.
Although I guess you could argue on the other side that Congress is the most powerful body of government. There is no co-equal government. Congress is number one, the top dog. And if they say that they are going to give their decision-making power to a local entity, I guess technically that's still federal law. I mean, that's still federal rule. if they're just going to do it in this one press, you know, in this one occasion. I don't know.
But the problem with that is you can't just make exceptions on something where you are placing municipal jurisdiction above federal jurisdiction just at a whim. And that's all this is, because there are many other cases where the liberals want to do exactly the opposite.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But in this case, I think a judge could also rule, well, but Congress gave the power away. It wasn't usurped. And that's usually what people are arguing about. Whatever the case, what I want to know before anybody signs anything, if what they're reporting is true on Tucker Carlson, and that Congress has given local municipalities the ability to veto a wall, would that just apply to the $1.37 billion they're giving Trump? Or does that apply all over the border and would effectively prevent Trump from building any kind of wall if some local mayor says no? That's what I don't know. I don't know if this is a poison pill for the entire wall for all time or just for this particular provision, meaning, you know, all they got to do is get gaps in this wall, Lee. I mean, they got to make sure there's gaps. And this is, again, a grand tradition started by George W. Bush, who was the father of open borders. And he was the one who said we won't have his administration. We will not have immigration enforcement at the national parks that abut the border. And he created massive illegal immigration corridors. And then the left said, well, this is now a right. We have a right to massive illegal immigration corridors. Thank you, George W. Bush. And it's been that way ever since. I mean, so if you want to know where this started, that's where this started. And that's what they're doing. They're saying, well, we have a right to have massive illegal immigration corridors. And that's what we're going to do. I hope the president doesn't fly off the wall and sign this one, because I have a feeling, I mean, there is no way Chuck Schumer is going to be up there telling the president to sign it if it is not loaded with stuff to keep him from building the wall. And let's not forget, you know, our own representatives, Trey Gowdy, Tim Scott, voted for the budget that, you know, blocked Trump from using the money in the budget to build an actual wall and limited the kind of structures he could use. The Republicans are big into doing this, too. Let's pretend we're funding the wall and we'll laugh at the president and his supporters behind their backs. So, I mean, I don't trust either side here. I just don't see how the president can sign this by tomorrow. I'm afraid of what's in it.
Well, and once again, you know, timing is everything. And this has been done this way purposefully, in my opinion, so that it's another bum's rush for Trump. You know, you get something, you push him back as far as you can push him, and then you get him up against a timetable that is impossible. And then you blame him for the failure before the American public and the media. And then, of course, you've got the willing participants in the mainstream media like the New York Times, Washington Post, and all the alphabet soup of TV networks that will go along with this and criticize the president over it.
Yep. So, you know, Trump in a difficult position, but that's somewhere Trump is often.
Well, that started when he came down that escalator.
Yeah. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and he was saying, you know, I have never seen a person, you know, so beset and attacked. My dad said, you know, I am amazed he endures what he continues to endure. I mean, he is fighting the entire Washington establishment, Republican, Democrat, the leadership of both parties who are actively looking to undermine him. So, I mean, you know, we expect a lot of Trump, and given what he's up against, to get anywhere is a miracle. And that's kind of what Rand Paul was saying yesterday. If you want to hear the other side of this, Senator Rand Paul.
Well, you know, I think the president wanted $5 billion. Nancy Pelosi wanted zero. And until she got off of zero, there was going to be no compromise. So I think that there will be a splitting of the difference. It's probably going to be, I think the number that's being floated around is $1.375 billion. Not all of that for the wall, but some of it will be. And the Democrats are going to say none of it's for the wall, but in reality, it's for a steel slat barrier, which certainly looks pretty hard to get over to me. And I think that in the end, that Trump won a big victory here, because everybody else had folded. You know, at Christmas time, everybody else was folding and just saying, oh, the Democrats can control the House is the best we'll ever do. So, you know, he got $1.375 billion for border security that wasn't in there before. So, no, I think it's a big victory for the president.
All right. So lots of perspectives on this.
And I think he's making a very good point there. It's certainly not what you wanted, but that's the, you know, that is what divided government does. Not even just divided government. That's what our federal government does, period. It's always dividing everything. Nobody generally gets everything that they want.
No. But if there's stuff in there, and I can guarantee there is, that would directly undermine Trump's agenda.
I don't know
how you come out ahead there.
Chuck Schumer would not have said, sign this, Mr. President, sign this, if there was not stuff in there that was going to be undermining
No
him.
Way. There's no way. So we'll see. It is Valentine's Day, so be sure to get your sweetie something today. It is also another sad, unfortunately, anniversary as well. It's the anniversary of the Parkland shooting. Terrible and tragic anniversary. I hope we don't, I'm going to be on edge all day until I know that we haven't had a repeat. I've been thinking about this for the three days leading up to this. Enough lunatics out there who should be watched by people at the FBI who we know aren't being watched by the people at the FBI, no matter how many times they're turned over to them. And I want to say a few things about Parkland. It is an utter, absolute, and complete failure by the FBI. It is a year later. We've documented this, including the congressional hearing on it. It was stunning. We had Nicholas Cruz posting in his own name from his own Gmail account that he planned to shoot up a school. And the FBI said, well, we couldn't verify it was him. Again, when you post not a fake name, but one connected to your account, at the time I was able to get on Spokio and verify that it was him. And I know the FBI's got a much better database in, a five-minute break? They could have done it. They just chose not to. But that wasn't all. He was reported multiple times to the FBI. Over and over again. Three separate times, including one woman who said she just wanted to clear her conscience because when he finally did blow and kill people, she didn't want to feel like she hadn't done everything. That call went to FBI Central Headquarters, and by FBI protocol, should have been sent down to the Miami office for investigation. It wasn't. The woman who took the call went to her supervisor, and they decided to close the case, even after linking it to the prior two reports. That was number three. Happened in January. They looked at it, three reports on this guy, including one online. They shut it down. They didn't bother. Wasn't a priority. Not like, you know, the coup they're running against the president at the top levels of the FBI. It was an utter failure. An utter failure. And then we find out that the reason Nicholas Cruz was able to get a hold of these weapons was because the Broward County Sheriff had duplicated a program that Barack Obama, his administration, had started. Basically, it was a program to make sure that no matter what crime you committed on campus, you would never be punished. A program that the sheriff himself, Scott Israel's own son, benefited from. He had committed a sexual assault on campus against another boy. Yeah, those are felony charges. Yet the very same deputy that we would see in that video cowering behind concrete. It's a big concrete pole. As you could literally hear students being executed inside the video, into the building on that video. That very same sheriff's deputy. Remember him? Was coincidentally the same one who altered the police report to cover up for Sheriff Scott Israel's son. That, not law-abiding gun owners owning guns, was the direct cause of what happened at Parkland. Yet, Scott Israel maintained his position for most of a year, has only recently been removed. There's no justice for the parents in Parkland. That's the most frustrating part. The deputy himself, who ought to be criminally investigated for covering up for his boss's son and altering a police report to hide the sexual assault, so that, you know, Scott Israel's son could go right back to school. The same school, by the way, that found burglary tools and stolen goods on campus in Trayvon Martin's backpack. Trayvon Martin should have gone to jail. He'd be alive today. You can literally pin Trayvon Martin's death on Scott Israel, the recently departed sheriff of Broward County. It is an absolute disgrace what happened in Broward County. And yet, the same sheriff's deputy who covered up for Scott Israel's son got an $89,000 a year retirement package. Was never fired. Was pushed out, yes. Allowed to resign. He's currently living on that pension. He's never paid a price at all for what he did. And what about the kids in the schools? What about the kids in our schools? What have we done since Parkland to keep them safe? Big fat goose egg. Got to credit Henry McMaster, our governor, for this. The only one with any sense on it up there in Columbia, saying, "Wait, let's just take $5 million and put armed defense for these kids in our schools." It was a step too far for our legislators. Josiah Magnuson said, "Hey, let's take $5 million from just the TV tourism promotion budget, not the whole thing, for South Carolina. Let's do this. It's an emergency. Let's put armed officers in our school." Nope, can't do that. Nope. Dead children are nothing compared to tourism. It was fought on every level by the Republicans who run Columbia badly. And so today our students are no safer than they were on the day of the Parkland shooting. And that is an absolute shame. It's disgusting. Oh, except one person. You know what, by the way, one person has done something. If there's somebody I'm overlooking, please text it to me. Palmetto, Florida's Manatee School for the Arts is now employing two armed combat veterans to protect students and teachers at the school full time. That's right. The principal of that school wanted combat veterans who had seen, armed combat, so that they wouldn't flinch if this happened again. School principal Bill Jones. Oh, we armed them with semi-automatic rifles and pistols. I don't see where anybody is protecting the children of this country. And it's on them, all of them. Greenville County Schools, our state legislature, everybody. If it happens again, it's on them. They have actively chosen to do nothing. I had so much fun with this yesterday, and I need to have some fun. Now, I had fun with you on this. I love when you do the show because you're good at it. You've been listening to talk radio for so long, so many of you. You text stuff to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307, and you really texted me great stuff yesterday at the end of the show, so I want to re-up this today. Loved this survey, the most common darn it moments we all deal with. Here's the top 10. Leaving the house in too much of a rush is number 10. And then spending your whole day wondering if you left the stove or curling iron on. I don't have problems with either of those two things. For me, it's did I close the garage door? There's a flaw in my garage door. You got to hit it twice, sometimes three times before it'll go down. And I'm in a habit of hitting it once. And I do that. And I think, oh, God, is it open? Number 9, somebody pointing out a tag is still on your clothes. Yep, I've done that one. Number 8, forgetting your headphones before a long trip. Number 7, dropping your phone in the toilet. Check. Done that once. Number 6, your umbrella turning inside out in the rain. Number 5, spilling coffee on a white shirt first thing in the morning. Now, what I usually do is spill my coffee during the show. Always on a day when it would easily stain, and a day when right after the show I have to go meet with our clients here at Intercom, and I don't have time to change. Virtually guaranteed, that's the day I'm going to spill it, and yes, I have gone to those meetings with big stains down my shirt. Number 4, forgetting to charge your phone so your alarm doesn't go off. Not me. I got a multiple redundant alarm system. Number 3, misjudging the weather and wearing a sweater on a hot day. Hate that. Number 2, forgetting your friend's birthday. I forgot Rambo Loco's birthday once. It was like many years ago. He still makes that hurt. And number 1, returning a wave to someone who wasn't actually waving at you. Oh, that's so embarrassing. You know what's even worse? Somebody's like yelling across the room and you answer them and they were not talking to you. Oh, golly. Here's some more good ones too that just missed the top 10. I actually like these better. Accidentally texting the person you're gossiping about. Or just accidentally texting somebody. Something you shouldn't have texted them. Have you done that? Some of my best texts yesterday on this were from that. Who'd you text and what did you text them? One guy yesterday who was in the military texted thought he was texting his wife, telling her he loved her very much. I'm just in love with you. Yeah, that's what it was. I'm just in love with you. Unfortunately, he sent it to his commanding officer, who then shared it with the entire upper chain of command at his expense. All right, so accidentally texting the person you're gossiping about, losing your balance on a train or bus and falling into a stranger's lap. I've done that in the metro in D.C. And ending a work call with, I love you. Oh, pain. I haven't done that. I've come close to it, though. I haven't done that. Although I did call one of our station's clients in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, babe. Oh, God, I wanted to die. That's what I call my husband. I wanted to die. Oh, it was awful. Awful. He hasn't canceled the account yet, so we're doing good. Texter writes, for me, putting my workout shirt on inside out and actually going into the gym. The texter writes, leaving your glasses at home. Yeah, that's a pain. That'll mess up your whole day. A lot of other texters weighing in on my monologue of the last segment. How, literally, after screaming, yelling, and a lot of heated rhetoric, the nation has done essentially nothing in the wake of the Parkland shooting. The anniversary is today. To keep our kids safer, even though there have been plenty of opportunities, as our legislature here has had, merely to forward $5 million out of the television tourism promotion budget. I mean, that didn't count like radio or print or internet. No, it was just, and it was only part of the budget. I forget what it was. It was like 20% of the television budget, 30%. It wasn't a lot. And that would be replaced again. And it was going to be, it was only temporary just to, you know, to put officers, armed officers in schools to protect our kids. Nope, no can do. They killed that. There are plenty of other ways they could have funded it. They had a big surplus last year. But children's lives just weren't a priority for anybody but our governor, Henry McMaster. Good for him. He fought hard for that and he lost. Shame on those who got in his way. Texter writes, oh, I've ended a call with, in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Oh, no. Was it a business call? Texter writes, Big Stain Tara, this shall become your new call sign. So says Dave. No, it won't, Dave. Thanks for playing. Texter writes, shuck, Tara. Tourism lobby keeps drilling out of the state, and they also limit safety at our schools. Yeah, the tourism lobby is pretty evil in this state. And they won't listen to sense either. Texter writes, we allow guns in the cockpits, but not the classrooms. This country protects first-class passengers better than our first-grade students. Texter writes, so technology has allowed these bureaucratic institutions to become powerful political entities. Evidence of this is the FBI runs the country. Yes, they cannot be bothered with stopping a school shooter. Oh, by the way, I forgot the whole point of that monologue. I meant to tell you, do you realize that the person at the FBI call center who took the third call and then went to their manager and said, and they knew about the other ones, the other two reports about Nicholas Cruz, they knew they had his name. They had his rantings online that he was going to shoot up that school. Do you realize that person who then took that case to the manager looked at the three cases and just shut it down. FBI protocols, it should have been referred to the Miami office for investigation. It wasn't. That is a violation of FBI protocol. We know that from the congressional hearing that they had on Parkland. Was anyone ever fired? Oh, heck no. I mean, you're FBI, man. You got to flat out break the law. Forget protocol. Break the law and you're still walking around on the FBI payroll. So, no. I mean, there's 17 dead children. Nothing. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable what the guilty get away with in this country and you know what the innocent are inflicted with. Don't get me started. Texter writes, can you imagine if it was your children, mine, our neighbors, a moment of silence might be due. I feel so bad for the Parkland parents. I genuinely do. They've been victimized twice in this country. Yeah, when the left figured out they weren't going to be able to take our guns over Parkland, they all threw their hands in the air and went, huh? We don't care. We'll move on. So did our legislature. That's pretty much where we are. It's ridiculous. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Coming up this morning at 7:18. I just want to put everybody on notice. If you are a judge in the Spartanburg County 7th District Solicitor's Office, I've got a message for you. Some bit of helpful advice on a case that's before you right now that we are watching closely. A man killed a 12-year-old. A repeat drunk driver killed a 12-year-old. Drunk driver. Spartanburg County in recent weeks. And you got a chance to keep him behind bars. Don't mess this up. Do not let him back out. I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a case number. We're going to make sure that the judges and the prosecutor's office get this one right. We're going to hold their hands and help them out before this maniac kills another person. All that coming up today at 7:18. All right. Love to hear your, who did you text? What did you say? How have you most recently embarrassed yourself? Yeah, it was painful, but you know what? It could do some good if we could all get a laugh. I'm not the only one. Texter writes, I was texting my daughter, fussing at her, and I realized I had texted it to her homeroom teacher. Ouch. I like this one. Texter writes, I ended a phone call with my ex-wife with okay, love ya, by accident. In front of my current wife. Oh, that hurts. Still not living that one down. I love the person who ended a call. I presume it was a business call. So that's what we were talking about, but I don't know. He says, I've ended a call with in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Oh, so bad. So bad. I mean, that's a fine way to end a call. Don't get me wrong, but not if that wasn't the topic. All right, men. Gotta love this. How do you feel about Valentine's Day? Is Valentine's Day fair to you guys? No. I mean, survey. Found the number one thing women want for Valentine's Day is a card. And the most common thing men say they want is nothing. Okay, wait. Stop. Rewind. When she says she just wants a card, she does not mean that. No. But she promised. No, she doesn't matter what she said. She's not going to tell you she wants you to do something big. Because that wouldn't count if you were doing it because she told you to. Don't fall for that. If she says she wants a car, she does not mean. Trust me, I have been a woman my whole life. I'm an expert on this. I know women. Which is why this is not fair. Men, God bless y'all, plan to spend more than double what women plan to spend. And there will be no judgment for that. I mean, don't get anything extra. It's just expected of you. One of the few toxic male expectations still left in our society that are different from what we expect of women. Oh, by the way, the top gifts women do admit they want include candy, flowers, jewelry, and a massage. I don't know if that means you can give her one and save the money or if you have to actually book one. I'm not sure. It didn't say. Anyway, Valentine's Day is here today. All right. Where do we go? Texter writes, after dining out with the wife, we went grocery shopping on a crowded aisle. I reached down for an item on the bottom shelf and produced the loudest moose call ever made by man. There was nowhere to hide. Another texter writes, the drag show at the library is back on. So is that with the pro-family gathering that starts at 2 p.m.? Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep up with that. I think ultimately, and I hate to say this with the drag show, I think ultimately it's a losing battle because we're not going to keep them out. Just not going to happen. Unfortunately, if they're going to rent those spaces, they got to rent them to everybody. There's almost nothing that the county council could do. So look for next stop to be our schools. They are going to do this all over the country at libraries. And the reason for that is it is a way to justify. Look how successful and popular the library programs have been. We're going to have to put it in the schools. That's where they're going with this. The only question is how many years it will take them to get that drag queen reading hour into our schools. They will do it. It's just a matter of how long it will take them. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Texter writes, hey, Tara, the Waffle House on Haywood Road is taking reservations for tonight. Gonna go? So says Paul in Greenville. I think I will skip the Waffle House. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that and skip the Waffle House. Okay. 1,100 plus pages. Border security deal, which I guarantee there's no real border security in there. There is no way Chuck and Nancy are going to pay for any part of Trump's wall without dramatically restraining him. And I'm not the only one saying this. This is the former Border Patrol Chief Mark Morgan on Fox News.
From a border security perspective, this proposal is an absolute failure. They not only didn't listen to the experts or the tools and resources they needed, they have absolutely rejected that. And one thing I want to add that's very important, American people need to understand what they're doing with ICE beds. So think about this. This proposal reduces the ICE beds, and I'm not a mathematician, but reduces the ICE beds. As you just pointed out, illegal immigration is skyrocketing. Again, you don't have to be a mathematician. What does that mean? Catch and release 2.0. They're going to have to release them.
Yeah, and the problem is people don't really understand what's in it. And there's no time to figure it out before the vote because the government shuts down if this doesn't pass by tomorrow at midnight.
This bill, obviously, I don't think anybody's going to have time to read it before they have to vote. They got to push it through so quick. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It came out while we're all in bed asleep here. We're waking up in the morning, getting going, and finding out that we've got nearly 1,200 pages worth of bills in front of us, for which we've not seen. And the Democrats, interestingly, made a promise that this type of thing would not happen, that we would have 72 hours before being called on to vote on a bill. And this is a bill that was done behind closed doors. Even many of the negotiators themselves had no idea what's in it. And now we're expected to vote on it today. I certainly cannot go there.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.